Welcome to another episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, where we focus on building better businesses. I believe in order to be the best leader that you can be, you must be willing to be the first follower and have a servant mentality when you're in a leadership position. If you want to be the best leader that you possibly can be sure to stay tuned and listen to industry leaders and hear how they built winning cultures in their own businesses. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Tactical Leader. Today, I am speaking with Kurt Cassino, and I'm excited to share with y'all how he helps people launch, develop, and create engaging brands. Kurt, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Man, I'm really excited about this because we kind of were chopping it up right before the episode and before we started recording about where this conversation is going to go. And before we dive into it, I really kind of want to highlight who you are, what you've been doing throughout this amazing journey you've had. And a big piece of that is Hype Life Brands, where you started that business in 2001. You employ a highly progressive approach to creating powerful, engaging brands and fundable startups in the ever-changing universe of brand, while employing a heavy focus on precision marketing, keenly focused on building customer traction and long-term ROI, which is a lot of amazing words to say you're really good at making people look good, right?
There's a lot in there. Yeah, definitely.
So I really want to give you the opportunity. I want to dive into that because just looking through your content, I mean, your content's as it should be, right? If you're a marketing agency, your content should be good too. So your content's fantastic. Obviously, you have a great eye for it. But before we really dive into that journey that you've been on, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, actually in the Midwest, even though I'm live and work in Southern California today. So born and raised in KC, an 80s baby. I have always been I was the only child, and I grew up with a lot of free time on my hands. And so a sort of entrepreneurial spirit somehow kind of got developed. And I'm a very both creative person, but I'm also very tech savvy and tech knowledgeable and just strategic. And with that entrepreneurship piece, I just naturally got curious about building things from out of thin air, basically out of nothing. And so that started when I was very young. I've always been involved in music since I was probably 12. So I started, writing and recording music and performing in bands, before I could drive a car. I remember my dad was like driving me to shows with my amp and my guitar in the back. And so then I got into designing posters and album artwork and then putting an image to an artist or a band that usually I was involved in. Then I started an independent record label. And then I went to and graduated from Mizzou, University of Missouri, Columbia, right in the middle of Missouri. And right at the end of that, I split my record label off into kind of the two arms that it had functioning, which one was sort of the production design promotional piece. And the other side was sort of the artist and music piece. And that's kind of how my agency was actually born in 2001, right at the end of my college career. That's kind of the starting point. I mean, the life of an entrepreneur is really a journey, and I still feel like I'm on it today, and it's like an adventure, And so I love working with startup founders because we have sort of a kindred spirit. Like, they understand and I understand because I've been there, and I feel like I'm still there now to this day, even though my agency's 20 years old.
I love what you're talking about because obviously this is a passion. You start flipping through your website, you start clicking around, and you obviously have that. I can see the flair for the music side, right? It's very, in that world, you have to be graphically appealing, I guess, visually appealing to be able to catch somebody's eye, right? So you have that attached to it. And what's really interesting is you kind of do like a whole bandwidth of different things where not only will you like develop the strategy behind it, which is that long-term piece that I think a lot of people kind of fail at, is like, I can think about what to do next week, but what do I do next year? And those strategies end up being like hugely important. But so you develop these plans, you do everything from like marketing, social media marketing, location-based marketing, you're doing all sorts of advertising. And you did all of this like in an era where like Y2K just happened, right? And it was like the crash of like everything, 9/11 happens that year. So many things happened when you started this agency. What gave you that motivation to be like, hey, I'm going to go out and do this, which at this point is very different than, others in the market. And I would assume in 2001, people weren't doing it like this then either. So what gave you like that motivation to like do this and create Hype Life in that in that way that you've actually broken that mold or created the mold, I guess, to that extent.
Yeah. A couple things I'll say is I've definitely grown up on the internet and tech curve. I mean, like literally my life just kind of goes along the trajectory. So I remember back, you know, I was still probably 14 or something, I think, when my dad was my dad's an engineer, my uncle's an engineer, my grandfather was an engineer. So I come from a long line of like engineer types. And so there's tinkering involved a lot. And so I remember my dad would get, you know, the early TRS-80 computer, and we had like the first CompuServe. I remember playing games on the command line where it's like, you know, you're in a tomb. Do you want to open, you know, the chest and see if there's gold or snakes inside? And you're like, you hit Y, yes. So, and then it says, oh no, you've been bitten by snakes, lost 10 points, like that type of stuff. And then getting into when GeoCities came out, AOL, and things started to advance. At that time, I started to play around with, I was infatuated with design and creativity and how things manifest visually. But on the flip side, you know, my dad threw me a programming book. I forget if it might have been C or Basic. That even means anything to you? One summer when I was like 13,
no clue.
I was like,
here, you're talking smart people stuff, man. Sorry.
Yeah, he's like, here, mess with this. Like, try some programming stuff. So I did. And then I got into design for the web, and I was doing like city sites. And then I was actually getting some small clients even in college because I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And I guess from that point to today is a lot of time, and a lot has happened, and there's been a lot of evolution. So I didn't start my agency with as full of a service offering as you would see at, you know, the site you're looking at is at hypelifebrands.com, and I think you're in the our services section. So it's a broad gamut, but really we've evolved what we started with in order to make it easy for our clients to work with us and have a single place to go to strategic partner to help them in all these different areas. Because I think the big thing that I have observed is these pain points for our clients, whether you're just starting a business, you're creating a startup that you want to launch nationally, internationally, whatever, or if you're an existing company, brand, or startup that's in the market for a couple of years, all these problems are connected. Okay. So they're all fall under the realms that we cover, which is brand. You know, branding is just a small piece of brand. Brand's the bigger sort of both tangible and intangible. It's what people say about your company when you're not in the room. How they describe, you know, that's the brand. And marketing, which is getting your message out there, which is crafting your message is really important too. Getting your message out there, having it be authentic, having it be in a place where it can connect with the unique buying tribe that you want to touch. And advertising, which is really where you spend money to... And how much you spend is basically the size of your bullhorn. So how many people can you reach through paid channels? And that's an amplification of your marketing. So all those things that we cover, in addition to helping with getting people ready if they're an entrepreneur and they want to get into trying to get outside funding in addition to their own, we can help set them up for that as well. So we didn't start there 20 years ago. I didn't start it there 20 years ago. It started more with a focus on digital and branding, and web, and kind of that. And social media didn't exist then either, by the way, which is
not at all. Like that was like pre-Facebook. Was that even pre-MySpace at that point, right? Like thinking all the way back, like there was nothing at that point to, and then what we know today is like digital marketing. It's like social media. Like that's all people think about, when in reality, there's so much more to it than that. So like you literally started in a different world than most people these days would understand.
Right. So we've had to sort of turn that corner with our clients and watch, you know, to make sure, you know, like when Snapchat came out, there was certainly some talk about it. And it's, you know, there's going to be those OMG, should we get on there? But in the end, we never did that for any clients because it didn't make sense. So we have a particular focus on helping lifestyle startups, lifestyle brands with the millennial generation. And so that was never really something we felt was a viable advertising and marketing channel for smaller to mid-sized brands and businesses, you know, sure, from Mountain Dew or, you know, Coca-Cola, Nike, like those guys, you know, who spend, you know, more in an hour on advertising than some of our startup clients spend all month. You know, that might make sense for them for a broader spray, but that's not a key channel, you know. And we have the same thing come about every 6 months. You know, this year Clubhouse came about. Surely there will be some sort of advertising play at some point. Will it be strategically appropriate for our clients? We don't know yet, which, by the way, I saw Twitter Spaces last. I got to play around with it because I had somebody I followed started up a thing. It's way better than Clubhouse.
Just really?
FYI. Yeah.
I haven't even heard of it yet, man. I'm not on that at all.
No, it's a quiet feature Twitter's kind of rolled out, I think. I don't know if they did it before Clubhouse or what, but, you know, all these things are like things we have to watch for because they bleed into both marketing and tech and advertising and how your brand's represented. And also culture, you know, paying attention to like what's going on in culture, above ground, below ground, all those things are kind of part of the, you know, the world that we live in.
And I find it a really fascinating piece that you put on your website. Is it, and I've talked about it before, but it's something that you don't really see people publish too much, is you did the Myers-Briggs assessment, and you were identified as an INTJ, which is interesting to me. It's the architect, right? Literally the things you're talking about, the way it's described as a strategist, analytical, creative, logical. Do you think that doing an assessment like that, finding out like what drives you, what motivates you, and then you kind of relate that to your team, is that something, since you published it, obviously you have some sort of attachment to that as being valuable. Is that something you'd recommend for people? Like, here's how you can understand better to apply yourself in the long term in business and life. And is that something you push forward with your team?
Yeah, I think I don't push it with my team, but I think for someone, if you want to invest in your own self and your own personal development, because especially as a, I think of sometimes being an entrepreneur and even working alongside, you know, startup founders, entrepreneurs, it's people who want to explore sort of the great unknown. And I feel like I think of it a lot like in the Dark Knight movies, how you start to get that backstory of Bruce Wayne and how he basically like trains alongside Ra's al Ghul like way back. And if I remember correctly, he's like kind of in search of this like purple flower at the top of the mountain. That's one of his missions. So does that sound right? Are you a Dark Knight fan?
Okay.
I saw that.
Yes.
So I remember seeing, I'm a huge Dark Knight fan. And so and Batman in general. I like, you can even see an interesting thread here because I also like the Punisher. And these are two superheroes,
the chaotic good type.
Yes, but they have no superpower. They're just mere mortal men, and I feel like that to me somehow is inspiring. And I've always been drawn to those characters. Like I honestly think Spider-Man and Superman are super cheesy, and I've just never been attracted to that. But these guys are mortal men, and they do, you know, supernatural things. But I thought that journey in that Dark Knight movie, the way that they did that, I like that gave me chills up my spine because I just felt like that's what we're doing here, you know. So I think that the personality test stuff is always good because it helps you know yourself and know yourself better and know why you have the preferences that you do and the why behind the choices you make. And so I've always been kind of, I don't go overboard with it, but every now and then I get an opportunity to do those personality assessments. And I have since, like, I think I did one in high school, and it helped me even know what to do for college, you know? And so later in life, you know, when these things come out, I also was introduced to the Enneagram. Are you familiar with that at all? So I worked with a mentor, kind of mid, probably about 10 years ago, that I really respected. And he ran a successful agency in Los Angeles that I had kind of like followed him for a while. And then I got an opportunity to work with him, and he introduced me to that. And that was a whole nother kind of thing. So I'm a six on the Enneagram, which is the loyalist. And then it like made like the last 15 years of my life make total sense, because it's like, if you read a good Enneagram book, every sentence is like, this is who you are. And it's just like so dead on. It's not like reading a horoscope where it's like, oh, okay, I guess that's kind of happened today. I don't know. You know, people that like, it's so concrete. So to find that INTJ thing, was really interesting to me too. And I was reading, some material that talked about how Christopher Nolan, and also I think, Steve Jobs is named in there. And I believe
Elon Musk is a big one.
Yeah. So like, I've never met any of those guys, but I admire them all for different reasons. So it's very cool. And it's kind of a motivator, because it's when one of the things you read about INTJs is it's like what one or 2% of the world's population have this specific set of characteristics. So it just kind of helps things make sense. And I feel like it helps you embrace who you are on your entrepreneurial and life itself, like your journey. You know, and I think all this is very important to keep that in mind, that it is a journey. It's not a, you know, I always say success is relative. You know, there's people that have more money than you. There's people that have less money than you, but money's not happiness. You know, it's, to me, it's what have I accomplished, you know, and look back and how have you invested in yourself, but also more importantly, others. So
yeah, and I love that explanation, because it sets the stage really well for like where I want to go with like branding. And like you literally said, it helps to know yourself, right? It helps to know yourself in order to be able to articulate yourself. And having an online brand can sometimes be really difficult for people, especially entrepreneurs, startups. We talked about my background, people going from government work into entrepreneurship or corporate world, even just trying to figure out who the heck they are. So seeing that's what drew my attention to you posting that is like, obviously it does help identify things that might trigger you. It identifies things that might motivate you. So it helps to know that about yourself. But how do you then take that, and how you do it with a client, how you've obviously done it with yourself, how do you take that and kind of morph it into the visual representation that you're so good at doing?
Well, I would say So I'm kind of talking about a little bit about personal brand here. But when we're working with a startup, a founder, an entrepreneur, you know, these terms are kind of interchangeable. A lot of times they want to build, they've got a vision, they've got an idea, and they want to, we often come at the very earliest stages. And so we're working with them to basically help bring this idea to market. And there's a lot of work that happens between that moment and probably the 6 months or 5 years or whatever that person has been thinking about this idea. They decided they're going to move forward. They're going to invest the capital and they're going to move the ball forward. So when we come in at that point, one of the very first pieces of our brand development methodology is what we call our vision phase. And so we really nail down, define, solidify the vision. And there's a lot in the document that we produce that comes out of that, but it's basically kind of like the brand strategy Bible on steroids, I like to say. And part of what's in there is defining the why. And the why idea comes from, it's one of our big pillars of our brand development philosophy. It comes from Simon Sinek. I'm sure you've heard of him.
We talk about him a lot on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's something we were already kind of doing. And then I got introduced to that, his book, Start With Why, again, by my mentor, very early in our work together. And I was like, man, like this is just, again, like wraps everything up that we've kind of evolved to and helps package it really nicely. That's in a digestible way for our clients to understand. So whether somebody's just starting out or they're a CEO of a company that's been at market for 10 years, I normally send them a copy of that book and say, like, you know, read this. You're going to be hearing more about it from us. So it's one of the big pillars. And so that starting with why, I feel like ties into your question in that you're getting to defining why over what. Why is first, what is last? What a lot of people do in business and brands and companies have done historically that does not help them stand apart from the pack and now it's more crowded than ever. You start with what, you know? Nike's motto is not, their tagline is not, "We make athletic shoes." That would be what? That's really boring and emotionally uncompelling, right? So their whole like crux is that just do it. It has nothing to do with shoes. It's about you. It's a personal, it's like a command. It's an inspirational, you know, get like out
a
there.
A challenge and do it, attached to it, right? Like a just challenge. Go do it, right?
Exactly. And their audience is very athletic on all different levels. And you and I both know, even if you're trying to get back in the groove of working out, you know, like just do it is probably the best, shortest thing you need to hear at 5:30 in the morning when you're like, you know, I want to snooze and have two more hours of work. But like the top performers, they get up really early in any area of work, whether it's athletic or not. So all that to say, I think that your personal brand ultimately and below brand talk, who you are at your core will ultimately be manifested into your business and your startup if you start at the place where we start. And I feel like that really sets a very wide, broad, strong, but focused foundation for building a new venture. On the same token, you want to be able to detach the business from your person, though. But I think you kind of like inject your story and your personality. Like you could probably see even my story and my personality and my journey injected into Hype Life Brands. You know, like so. I feel like that's the most compelling type of business to be in. Whatever you're starting, it's something that people can see like your passion shining through it. But it's also not necessarily your name on the sign, you know, a big thing that we're kind of against.
So. Well, let me not tell you about my companies real quick. No. It's funny that you point that out because two of my businesses are, I have my last name in it and my last name is Knight. And it's one of those that one of them is a security firm. So it just makes dang sense, right?
Well, like, you've got the play on words there. Done for it.
You know, so we do a little bit of things where it's injected me, but I'm literally in the middle of a rebrand myself where I'm just transitioning off of active duty military. I'm transitioning back into business ownership and running that. And what's interesting about like everything you're saying, it correlates so well with my mindset of like what I had before, the brand stuff I had before, somebody else created it, right? I never really sat down. I did all the paperwork, the application, or not the application, but like all the created the buyer personas. I did all of that stuff. And then somebody else's vision became not mine. Right. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that's something I really love how you just highlighted is you have to inject yourself into that, which creates a level of vulnerability, right? You have to put yourself out there enough to mm-hmm. be able to put yourself out there enough. Right. Is that kind of like a vibe you see quite a bit where like people are like holding that back? Like they don't want to really let people know who they are.
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't feel like we see that issue really. We just have a way through our process and our methodology of sort of extracting that, but doing it naturally and comfortably. And you know what? Sometimes it's not there. I can't say every single client that we've ever worked with has this amazingly emotional, compelling, compassionate story. But that'd be way too easy. Right. Yeah. Like everybody we work with is Tony Robbins or something, you know. Or Simon Sinek, you know. But at the same time, I would say that we find as much deep roots as we can, and we drill and we get to that, and we craft that story around it, and then you know eventually it starts to inform how the marketing messaging is put together. So even if we come into a client that occasionally will have somebody who has kind of built a straw man business, they've got say a little rinky dink Squarespace site that can't do anything because they're trying to like bootstrap and hack their way there. That doesn't work, by the way.
No, it doesn't. I've tried it. It wasn't Squarespace. It was GoDaddy. Ew, it was
there
so
you
bad.
Go. Exactly. Yes. Wix, Weebly, Squarespace, GoDaddy, all in the same bucket. Cause more problems than are really worth if you have a really like kind of robust concept. So all that to say though, we'll sometimes come in and we do a lot of sort of firefighting and backfilling and getting to that story and then moving things forward so that we can, you know, do things like, well, let's look at this, the messaging of this giant corporate faceless glass building. And this is a real story. This giant faceless corporate glass building, first of all, it's not the office that your business is in. So you're casting a false image. Second of all, it's an inanimate object. It has no emotional connection potential whatsoever. No one is going to come here and go, oh my God, I see myself in this, you know, as a consumer, as a human being. I like to say that over consumer these days. So let's change this to a couple that's looking, you know, maybe they're looking at a computer, they're looking at each other, smiling, they've solved the problem because you solve a problem for them and you empower them. Let's go to that. And even that, so that's photography, that's brand identity, but that's really messaging right there. Like, what are we saying? What's the story we're telling? Even in a simple image, of course, that is the giant in our, you know, we often use like kind of giant editorial size photos where we can, like, that's the first impression. And I think people have kind of like got to a point where they just think, oh, let me just throw together a website and it'll be good. Like, no, there's a lot involved in just putting together your digital presence and emanating your story and your brand identity of your business and all the things we're talking about. Like, you know, you see what we've done for the agency site. And I think we have a lot, there's a lot there that's very intentional. You know, there's so much more we could share. And if anything, we've kind of feel like we need to taper some things back in 2021, but you know, it's an ever going process. But I think those are some of the things and some of the thought process that we go through, no matter where we jump in with a CEO or a founder or even a VP of marketing, say like, look, let's start here and let's address this first, because this is really important. People come to your site and make an impression, they get an impression of you in like 3 seconds, you know? Yeah, you ever look something up on Yelp? Even though it's sad to say, but you look it up on Yelp and you're like, oh, they don't have any reviews. Yep. Probably not in business.
Right? Yeah. Or then, you know, it goes from what, Yelp, Google to like Facebook. Cause if they don't have a social media page, like, and if it's all not aligned across everything, then you're like, oh, this is not a legitimate joint. Either it's got really, really good food or it doesn't actually exist.
Right. Maybe they're not even open right now.
Right. And I love a lot of what you're talking about again, because it just correlates so well with people that are in that space of the startups, the entrepreneur, the transitioning veteran, the transitioning government worker, police officer, whatever it may be, where it's just so difficult to, like, you're not the uniform anymore, right? For so long, that was your quote unquote reputation or brand, is like the uniform is like everything. And now you're out there on your own and you have to like put yourself out there and have that level of vulnerability to make that brand yours. So it's like a big piece I really wanted to highlight, that that's like a huge necessary step to actually invest in figuring out who and what you are, right? And then actually when you're starting that business, be prepared to put it out there, right? Because people are going to correlate with that so much better. And I love the process. I mean, strategist, right? Architect, you're literally putting stuff together for people. I absolutely love that. It perfectly nails you. And I'm curious, what is it that we talked about your why, we talked about like the things that really have you help focus on, but like, what's that legacy you're wanting to leave on the world with all these amazing things you've done?
I feel like for me personally, I feel like one of our big flags that we fly is disruption towards positive change. And I think it's kind of one of the criteria we even look at for if we're talking with a potential client, somebody we're going to be working with potentially for years to come. You know, we're in the business of relationships and developing those with our clients. It's not just a transactional thing. It's not just a project. It's not just fix my website. It's not just make me a logo. You know, we're like sort of an in/out of house marketing/brand strategy team working alongside the client to execute their vision. Because a lot of our clients aren't technical either. So we help navigate all that too. It's like, so they can focus on the vision and the business and what they want to create. And we take care of the details. Just like, I don't know how to build a house, but I could tell you if I was going to build a house and I had this beautiful piece of land in some tropical fantasy land, which is where I probably would get it. My wife would let me, let us, you know, I could tell you, like, I want a, you know, really tall glass wall with a little waterfall in front of me. Like, I would have absolutely no concept how to execute that and do it safely. So same thing like that, but you want to be able to cast that vision. So I think, I think for me, it's really just about that, like creating from a blank page, bringing ideas to life, and bringing ideas to life that can positively impact the world that we all are sharing. And it's something we talk about. You can see that in the story on our site. You know, that's a big piece of why we've sort of naturally specialized in millennials and then kind of taken it a step further, because millennials are the biggest people group on the planet. And as an elder millennial myself, anybody in the 80s, born in the 80s, you know, up to the anybody that's about 38-ish, 39-ish to back to about 25 as we age, we kind of classify as millennial because it's foggy edges. But you know, it's the biggest people group on the planet right now, and it's going to be a lot of impact, and there already has been, and there's going to be even more. In the workforce, in commerce, in politics, in fashion. I mean, you could just go down the line, and that big people group is moving along. So we want to work with clients who have a vision for a better tomorrow. And that's who I like to work with. It's like, if I could have a beer, a drink, a coffee with you, and we could sit down and talk about this stuff, and we could basically just dream for hours. Like, that's a great mark of a great client. And that's who we love working with. And I think, to me, that's the mark that I want to leave on some small way in my little corner of the world, you know?
I absolutely love that. And you're obviously well on your way to it. If anybody out there is listening, wants to reach out to you, wants to find more about you, connect with you, see all this amazing content you're creating, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
There's a few ways. For one, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just look up Curt, C-U-R-T, and my last name is spelled C-U-S-C-I-N-O. You could search C-U-R-T Hype Life. You can go to hypelifebrands.com. If you hit us up on the chat on the site there, in most cases, I will actually answer that directly. So some people are like, is this a real person?
Bot, right?
No, it's actually me. It's one of the unique things that we've done as an agency is be accessible and not be, you know, closed off. So you can go to the site, you can poke around, you know, and I'm also on Twitter, at Curt, C-U-R-T, Cuscino, C-U-S-C-I-N-O. So any of those ways. Oh, and my email, Curt@hypelifebrands.com, also works.
Love it. Love it. Curt, thank you so much for your knowledge, your wisdom on this whole branding concept. And I want to encourage the audience to come back this Friday, where we're going to hear some of these tactics from you and the action steps of actually beginning to develop that brand. Thank you again for your time, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, and I hope you got a ton of value out of what we talked about today. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Knight Protection Services. If you're a leader in a small to mid-sized business that does $5 to $10 million a year in revenue and want to improve retention costs, which could actually add up to being twice your employee's salary, all through creating a safer work environment and saving up to 25% in insurance costs, be sure to visit knightprotectionllc.com.